Naked or April 20th, 1957, Reel 1.
This is an interview with Kid Ory in his beautiful house in San Anselmo, California.
Sleepy Hollow.
That was the voice of Mrs. Ory you just heard. All right?
Yeah.
You're in business? Huh?
Yeah, I just want to watch as you talk a little while and you just...
Yeah.
Watch, it's not supposed to go into...
When were you born?
Adon... 1886, December 25th.
December, on Christmas Day?
That's right.
Is that so? And where?
La Place, Louisiana.
Now, how far is that from New Orleans?
That's 29 miles and 3/10 of a mile.
Well,
that's pretty accurate. That's
he's taking you right to the plantation door.
That's the most precise answer I've ever had in my life. You scared me. Thank you.
Let's start over again.
I'll take it. I'll do it. Yeah, yeah.
You must have measured it many a time.
I walked it many times. You didn't know.
What I'd like to know from you first is how you first became interested in music, how old you were, and what you were playing, and so on.
Well, I was about 7 years old.
About 7 years old, and you were still in La Place?
Yeah.
Now, what instrument did you play?
Well, I first made a banjo.
Yeah.
And I made a guitar.
You mean you built them yourself?
Yeah. And I made a bass.
A guitar, dear?
Guitar. She must put that on.
I don't know what you're talking about. What kind of banjo did you make?
I made a five-string banjo.
Out of what?
Out of a tin bucket.
Mm-mm. Not the banjo.
Yeah, the banjo was a cut bucket, half of it down in a regular bucket, you know, about this size, and cut it down about there.
Well, that was the first one.
That was the first one, yeah.
And you used the metal strings on that one.
No, I was using thread and fishing cords, you know.
Afterwards, you switched to metal.
Oh, yeah.
Because they broke all the time.
Yeah. When I made one little...
Out of a cigar box later on.
No, a cigar box was the guitar.
Oh, excuse me.
Were there any musicians in your family?
No.
No. How come you became so interested in music?
Well, I used to hear brass band play all the time. Pickwick Brass Band and Onward Brass Band.
Well, those were bands from New Orleans, you mean?
No, one from La Place.
Oh.
And one from Reserve.
From Reserve?
Just about 3 miles.
Who'd you play with when you made these instruments?
Well, I had my own little outfit. I had the two Matthews boys and myself. We started.
Yeah.
Then I had another kid named White.
Yeah.
And Eddie Robinson, which we called Rabbit.
What instruments did they play? This was a kid band, in other words.
Kid band.
Like playing
homemade,
in the streets.
Homemade instruments, yeah. We started.
Did you call that band anything? Did you have a name for that band, which had instruments like that?
No, we did.
What did you call it?
I did. Called it the Woodland Band.
The Woodland Band.
Plantation Band.
Mm-hmm. What kind of instruments did you all have?
Well, I told you we had a homemade banjo, homemade guitar, homemade bass.
How was the bass made?
Violin, huh?
How was the bass
made? With a big soap box, you know, a wooden box, and work down the handle of a neck, just like you would a regular bass, you know. And
how many strings?
Had four strings.
Oh, yeah?
Different sizes of fishing cords, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fishing cords.
Yeah, you know, I used to fish and
Do you have a bridge on it and everything?
Oh yeah, made a bridge. Used lots of rosin because you know the string.
What was the guitar made out of?
Huh?
What was the
great big cigar box? He used to make a big cigar box, you see, and use different size of thread, you know.
So you had a banjo, a guitar, a bass. What else did you have?
Violin.
violin.
A homemade violin, too?
Homemade violin with a smaller cigar box.
Is that so?
How'd they sound?
Well, it sound good, you know. We try to sing along with it, you know.
You sang with it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not till he started out, originally. Before he had the instruments, they hummed. They had a little humming band.
Oh, yeah?
Before, in a room before like you this, made the instruments?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Before you made the instruments, you had a humming band?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We used to stand on the bridge, you know, and at night.
Over a creek.
In the dark, and just couldn't see anyone. No one could see us, could hear us, you know, singing on the bridge.
Hmm.
Get us a few ginger cakes, and we was all right, some water.
Something for the tummies and the music for the soul. Oh, God.
You get three big, we call them stage playing, about that long and that wide, you know, mm-hmm. Three for a dime, you know.
Well, did you have any rhythm instruments with this group?
Well, afterwards, when I made the homemade instruments.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What did you have? What kind of rhythm
instruments? Well, the same instrument I had. Uh-huh. We had the guitar and the violin and bass.
Banjo.
And the drum.
Well, later we had the drums, you see.
That came later.
Yeah, taking a big tub and made a foot pedal, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You had a regular drum set, in other words.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly what we had, you know, what we used today, you know.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a tub?
Wash tub.
Tin tub?
Tin tub, yeah. And deaden it inside with cloth, you know, rags,
yeah.
Keep it from ringing too much.
And
it said, boof, boof, you know.
That sounded pretty
good.
Yeah. Now, where'd you play with this? Once you had this little kid band organized, where did you play?
Well, I couldn't get a job, so I started promoting fish fries.
Yeah?
And I started selling beer, you know.
Where'd you get the fish from?
Huh?
Where'd you catch a fish?
Out of the Mississippi River and creeks.
Was La Paz on the Mississippi River or near?
Yeah, I would just say about 75 feet from my...
Oh, really? That close, huh?
Mm-hmm.
His across
the levee, right
that he lived
on, there.
That ran up right up to the levee.
I used to keep my line in the river all the time.
Oh.
The time I wanted a fish, I'd pull them out and throw it back in.
So tell us about these fish fries. What were they like?
Well, that catfish and different kind of fish, poaches, and potato salad.
Did you make all this yourself?
Well, sure.
Well, how old were you, about 10 years old at this time? Or
no, I wasn't quite 10.
What?
I was between 7 and
so?
I started when I was 7. When I was 10, I was on the stand playing professional with real instruments.
Oh, yeah? Well, let's...
All right.
Let's stay on this.
Let's stay under 10 a while.
Yeah, right.
Where did you... So... You had these little fish fries. Did you charge?
Yeah, on the plantation. What?
Well, how much did you charge for these things?
Well, 5 cents a drink, 5 cents for a fish sandwich. If they wanted a double, well, it's 10 cents. You know.
Uh-huh. And while they were having, you know, this is like a picnic, like a lawn party, in other words, like a little...
Well, it mostly was in the room, you know. Big
oh, this
room.
Was indoors?
Yeah, because the instrument wouldn't carry out. In the
oh, this was indoors?
Indoors,
yeah. I see.
Where the time we'd find an empty house, we didn't have to rent it, just go on and bring some candle in, light it up, and go to work.
In the evening? This was at night?
Yeah,
at night?
Evening, yeah, evening.
Well, what kind of people came? Fun. Kids or grown people?
Everyone more to come.
Anybody?
Babies and everything.
Uh-huh.
Sell bananas and everything. Fruit.
Did many older people come?
Oh, yeah. Well, in those days, the younger people couldn't go out without the parents, you know.
I see. So the parents would bring the kids down?
Yeah.
That's right.
What tunes did you play with that band?
Hmm?
What tunes did you play then?
We used to play Make Me a Pallet on the Floor, Think I Heard But a Bowl and Say, and quite a few more that I can't recall, you know, old numbers.
Mm-hmm. Did you play waltzes and things like that?
Oh, yeah,
that?
Waltzes
yeah.
And shouters.
You did, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what did you play in the band? Which instrument?
I played all of them, but my regular instrument was first with the banjo. Then my bass player wasn't doing so good, so I I'd give the guitar to Matthews, and he played guitar and I played bass.
This is not the same Matthews?
Bill Matthews?
Oh, no. Louis and Joe Matthews.
Uh-huh. Are they related?
They're brothers, yeah.
Brothers.
They started out with...
Not to Bill Matthews.
Not to Bill Matthews.
No.
That's just the same name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No relative.
Well, were you able to make some money from these little operations?
Well, yes, I did. I was the leader, the promoter, bookkeeper, and the treasurer.
And the fish fryer.
The fish fryer.
But he didn't stay a fish fryer long. He got girls to take over that work. Yeah.
Oh, when I was able to
get a little help, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And they
free
would
help.
Pay him 50 cents a night, well, then I was a big shot then, you see.
Sure. Yeah. Well, were you able to save some money and so on? Would you?
Well, I saved the money until I got enough money, then I promoted a big picnic at a baseball game. The New Orleans team came to play the Country Boys, and the owner of the park, my dad's first cousin, and I told him what I wanted to do, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to buy a real instrument, and so...
What did you buy? What instrument?
Real. That's what we use today.
I know, what?
Oh, seven instruments.
Oh, you want to buy instruments for everybody? You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I take the money I accumulated on the fish fry, and I saved it. And I kept in adding to it every week we'd play and have our fish fry. When I had enough money, I for the park and the... They have a picnic after the ball game, while the game was going on, while I still was selling beer and stuff, you know, and food. So they gave me everything free. When they found out what I wanted to do, and my dad's cousin and his partner on the plantation, the grocery store, they gave me everything I wanted. Beer and all the food and all the meat, and they opened everything for me.
But you might tell what brought that on. He didn't believe in your music at first.
Yeah, I know. My dad's first cousin wanted me to work on the plantation after my dad died. So I didn't like plantation work. Because we had lost our farm. You know, my dad had died. Mm-hmm. Was sick at the time. And so he said he didn't thought I was any good.
Because he wanted to play music instead of learning how to run a plantation.
Plantation. Yeah. You want to get my job as a... boss, the overseer, you know.
Yes.
He and his son were the only two males in the family on the Ori's plantation.
Oh, I see.
And it was the idea that he and the first cousin's son would eventually run the plantation as the father got old enough to not be able to do everything himself. Mm-hmm. So his female cousins, to get their father on his side, gave a party and hired his band. And when Daddy saw how all the guests loved his music, from there on in, he was on Ed's side and realized he wasn't trying to get out of work after all, but he had something that should be used.
What kind of instruments did you buy when you bought real instruments? What did you buy?
Excuse me, I finished down there, and the night of the dance of the big party, he came up to me, he said, you know, I'm sorry. He told me in French that he accused me of being a lazy boy. He said, you know, everyone is good for something in this world. Anything I can help you, let me know.
He talked to you in French, huh?
Yeah.
At this time, French was your main language.
That's right.
Parisian
he
French,
too. He couldn't speak English at all.
He couldn't speak English
My dad all. And either his cousin.
So you made enough on the picnic to buy the instruments.
Yeah. And
what kind of instruments did you buy?
Well, I bought a valve trombone, violin, 12-string guitar.
12-string guitar?
Yeah.
With six double strings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bass, trumpet, and drum. Seven instruments.
Who played them?
Well,
the same people?
We had
the same
two
boys?
Matthews boys, and Lawrence Dewey.
Lawrence Dewey?
Yeah.
Is he from La Place?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Two Matthews boys, Lawrence Dewey, another boy named White. Name was Bull White, and Alfred Lewis played bass.
Yes.
And Eddie Robinson drum, and myself.
What did you play first?
In the band?
Yeah.
Valve trombone.
How did you play it?
Huh?
How did you know how to play it?
Well, I just picked it up on Wednesday, and on a Saturday night I was playing for a dance.
Had you ever played one before?
No.
Had you fooled with
no,
one
I just
before?
Saw the guy, I had to blow it.
Well, how did you make
well,
your
sometimes
notes?
When the band, brass band, would be playing there for a big banquet there, you know, they call them the banquets, you know.
Yes.
The guy was putting the horns on and be drinking beer, I'd slip and get one of the horns and try to blow it, you know. Uh-huh. So see, I didn't notice how they were putting it to the mouth, and I just kept until I got a tone.
So you were really self-taught?
Yeah.
Nobody taught, showed you how
no.
to do it? How to get a scale
no.
or anything?
No.
All by yourself?
That's right.
By ear?
That's right. And with an arm, I could play in all the keys, you see.
Really?
The first start, I could play in one key, but
uh-huh.
I kept
adding.
And
did you all have to decide on which key you were going to play in?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If I pick up the lead, I said, follow me in B flat, an E flat.
Well,
I said, all down, stay down. If you can't come, stop.
Were the other boys self-taught too?
Oh yeah, every
all
one
these,
of them, yeah.
You know, they just picked up and in
that's
a few
right.
days they started to play with
sure,
this.
That's right.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. As long as they were
so once
not
you had
so amazing if you think of the number of children on that plantation
yeah.
and how he picked them over carefully to find the ones that
yeah.
were even slightly interested in the first place to start a humming group.
Did you follow the brass bands around when you were younger, when you were kids?
Oh yeah.
Second line and so on, huh?
I remember sometimes they have a rehearsal in a big house, you know. And they wouldn't let the kids in. Sometimes they would have it at my friend's house, you know. I'd get the early and get underneath the bed, you see. And
oh, yeah?
And play, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You were really fascinated by music as a
that's
child,
right.
huh?
I couldn't say anything but music.
Is that so?
The girls was worrying me, but I didn't. I like the girls all right, but I want music
first. Music
voices.
First, huh?
I still, if I learn music, I can get a girl, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my, oh, my.
What did you do? What kind of tunes did you do when you had that humming group? Same tunes?
What? No.
How
we,
did that work? I mean, did you really hum? Mm-hmm. Is that what you did?
We hummed, and when we know the tune itself, the melody, you know, one of us would take the melody in a three-part, four-part harmony, you know.
You do three,
yeah.
four-part harmonies,
yeah.
you know.
Sometime.
Like a barbershop quartet,
yeah.
kind of.
And sometimes we couldn't get the correct chord, you know, four-part harmony, couldn't get it all the way through, we'd double up, you see.
That was very good for your ear training,
yeah, sure.
huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
And we'd, the kids, we used to bet, if we hear a brass band playing, say, about a block from us, and we'd bet to see what key, to prove, you know, see which one know what key the band was playing in.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'd win out every time.
Is that so? Like a little contest to test
yeah,
your ears,
yeah.
huh?
He still has it today, thank God.
Yeah, I can hear a band playing. No, if I can hear him, I can tell what key to play.
Oh, yeah?
You know, on the television, the radio. And
why'd you go out on this little bridge to hum?
Well, we didn't have no other place. See?
You mean this was a little place in town or out
on the plantation? On the plantation,
oh,
yeah.
I mean, it was just a good place to get together.
Yeah, you see, we had lost our place, you know, and we had my dad and mother take me home. And had so much mortgage on it, and I couldn't get enough money to pay it off, so I sold it and gave the money to my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, he was just, had left home, he was in business himself. He had a grocery and boy, you know, across the river. So we decided to give the girl the money and we went for ourselves.
But when you had that homemade band, did, you know, you said you play in a little house, you find an empty house or something.
Yeah, I promote the...
Would they be just deserted houses? I mean, people left?
Well, just people move out, you know,
mm-hmm.
change from one plantation to another, you know. And
uh-huh.
there's always an empty house, you know. when sometime we get in a pinch, people didn't have much fun at your house, they let us come in the house and have the party.
How would you
promote it? We'd give them all the food and the beer they wanted, you know. Mm-hmm.
How would you promote or advertise it? How would you promote a thing like that in advance?
Oh, from mouth to mouth.
Mouth to mouth?
Yeah. Well, there had enough people around. They had all looking for a place to go on Saturday night, you see. No place to go, they all flopped over and get beer. And
what kind of plantation was this?
Oh, the big sugar cane plantation.
Sugar cane plantation.
Yeah, big sugar mill and everything.
Oh, yeah?
And all the people from the little villages, the plantation would come.
When would you do it usually, on Saturday night or what?
Saturday night.
Saturday
Sunday.
Night.
Saturday and Sunday afternoon.
I see. Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
They wouldn't let me run on Sunday night. They said people had to go to work early, Monday.
Monday, yeah.
I start early on Sunday afternoon, you see. And when I give my big picnic at the park, then I really charged 15 cents to come in. After the game, everyone went out and came back and bought the tickets.
Oh, first they had to get out?
Get out. They had to pay that admission to see the game.
Yeah.
I have to come in by me then, you see.
I see. Right in the baseball park, huh?
Yeah.
In the before that, when you had the homemade band, you could get beer and so on for the picnic?
Yeah. So whiskey too, everything.
Oh yeah?
Even as a kid. Who'd you buy it from?
Oh, they used to give it to me. My dad is a partner on the store.
To give it to you?
Yeah, to make a profit off it. Well, they're the only one had a liquor license, aren't they, you see?
Yeah.
They made a profit and you made a little profit.
No, they gave me the liquor. Oh. He was helping me, you see.
He was helping him out because he was his uncle.
Did you have to do a lot of experimenting with these homemade instruments to get them to sound right? Or did you just know how to make them?
Well, after I made the banjo, well, I had a good idea, you know, how the others would sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept working on them.
Did you have to, like on the violin, did you have to make any of those openings in the box or anything?
Yeah, I got a hole, yeah.
All that scroll stuff?
Did you make little holes?
Yeah. I didn't have any saw to saw them, you know. I'd take a red eye. Iron, small iron, you know, and just keep it burning it and make it crooked. You know.
I see.
You know, just like with a bass violin or violin.
Yes.
In the hole and it gets all right.
Yeah, like F holes.
Yeah, burn it out, you know. Real thin wood, 1/8 inch thick, you know. You know, a cigar box.
So it's not too. But you know, did they get a pretty good sound?
Yes, in a room like this.
Yeah? You know. And you all sang and played, huh?
Sang, yeah. Only thing we use lots of rosin, you know. We have the boy on the thing, I guess, you know.
On the bass, you
so
mean?
So they could get the grip on that thread and the cords, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'd break lots of strings, too.
Had you been in New Orleans at this time? Had you ever gone to the city? Or what? Do you remember the first
time?
Yeah.
No. No.
I've never. You've never been to New Orleans?
No.
Did bands come from New Orleans sometimes to La Place or Reserve?
Yeah.
So you heard bands once in a while, in other words.
Yeah. And bands come out there every payday in the wintertime, you know, doing the sugar grinding. And
payday there was a band, huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember some of the bands that came?
Yeah.
Who came?
Peyton, Dave, I think his name was Dave Peyton.
Dave Peyton, yeah.
Yeah, and Galloway.
Yeah.
They was in Bolden, King Bolden time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did Bolden ever come?
No, Bolden passed through there. He used to pass through there going to Baton Rouge playing on excursion.
Oh, I see.
And when I see the advertisement, you know, hearing from other people talking that he's
was he pretty well known in
who?
Bolden, was he well known even in places like La Place?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, his name meant something.
Sure. He used to play all his excursion, you know, from Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Baton Rouge. He stopped at the plaster and played a tune, you know, being the baggage car. And we used to go to the station and listen and play.
What was that on a railway station?
Railway station. Yazoo, Mississippi Valley.
What?
Yazoo and Mississippi Valley Railroad. From Baton Rouge.
From New Orleans to Baton Rouge.
That's right.
And it stopped in La Place?
Yeah.
And you mean the band played when the train stopped?
Yeah, when the train stopped, yeah.
Where would they play from?
From the baggage car.
From the baggage car?
They stand right in the door with the horn of it.
And what do
you... And the bass and drum behind them. Right?
And would the people...
Oh, just gather, pray.
Yeah? Yeah? Did you always go?
Huh?
Were you always there?
Yeah, I didn't miss a trick.
Uh-huh. See, the train stops on the way.
Just to play?
Just to play. I mean, they played on the stops.
Lots of people who board the train, you know, elder people.
Oh, I see. And go on.
Yeah,
it was like an excursion train, huh?
Excursion train.
From New Orleans to Baton Rouge.
So this would be a way of advertising.
Then they'd have a dance in Baton Rouge. Dance in Baton Rouge. They danced all afternoon, and then leaves probably... Well, the dance from the time they get there, let's see. So it should arrive Baton Rouge, say, about 9 o'clock, 9:15. And then about 11 o'clock, the dance would start.
Uh-huh.
Then the dance would start about 4:30, and then the train leave about 5, and or a little after, and about 8 o'clock that night, would come back through the plaza on the way to Baton Rouge.
Now let's talk
about...
But
it wouldn't play, come back, you know, there.
Just
tired,
going.
You know, going.
Yeah,
trying
well,
to get people to
this.
Go. Yeah. Well, it was advertising, you know.
Yeah. Now, once you got your band organized with regular instruments, what happened next? What did you do?
Well, I played up and down the road from La Place to Baton Rouge, all the sawmill towns, and for Kenner.
How old are you by this time?
Well, I was on the stand playing when I was 10 years old. I played my first year when I was 10 years old.
Ten.
Played for a big...
playing regular valve trombone.
Valve trombone. All real instruments.
Mm-hmm. Was the good valve, was the good instrument?
Hmm?
A well-made, a good instrument?
No, it wasn't real good. Had a few holes in it, mm-hmm. I plastered up with soap, you know.
Oh, yeah?
The first one.
Uh-huh.
Only paid $4 for it. Uh-huh. But I mean, the real one, I had a good one.
Yeah.
Had a York.
Yeah.
After I gave the picnic, you see.
I see.
Then I bought a real one.
How old were the other kids? That
we all ran about in the same age.
All about the same.
Mm-hmm.
What did you wear? How'd you all dress then?
Well, we dressed the way best we could, you know. Until I gave the picnic and got real instrument, then I. But all coats, you know, to match, you know, and any
you did?
Kind of trousers. Yeah.
What kind of coats were they?
Any kind of sport coats, you know.
Uh-huh.
Peddlers used to come around the house. You can buy them for 25 cents a week, you know.
Oh, I see. So you mean you bought the uniforms for the whole band that way, huh?
Yeah. Some of the boys that wear them out, I'd take them home after their job. I'd take them to my house. They're to be clean for the next job, you know.
Yeah.
What did they look like? Were they just regular jackets or?
Regular.
What color were they?
Well, they're gray and blue, you know. As long as they're all the same color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clothes that you'd pay more money today
did,
for.
Did you wear a necktie?
Oh, yeah.
Short and necktie?
Sure.
Why? White shirt?
White shirt, yeah.
And we wear bow tie or what?
Yeah, bow tie mostly.
Little bow tie?
Very stylish then.
Yeah.
But they were just like regular jackets, is that right? Or were they different from that?
With the coat?
Mm-hmm.
No, regular street clothes like we wear. Like we wear now, you know. But we mostly had, summertime had, call it the pongee, you know, light, very lightweight, so warm.
Yes.
They were very cheap, too, you see.
Uh-huh.
Well, in those days, you would get a suit of clothes for $7.95, a good suit of clothes, you know.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't have any clothes at all when we started, you know.
Uh-huh.
A man, that's enough to get by, look
yes.
clean.
Yes.
But finally, we made it.
Did you hear any other music besides what the brass bands were playing around when you were a kid?
Yeah, as I told, that's where Peyton, Dave Peyton band and the Galloway band used to come out and play every payday during the winter.
From your
I see.
from New Orleans. They had one, Peyton.
Those were regular dance bands, huh?
He had an accordion in his band.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. And guitar, most of string music, yeah.
Most of string music.
In Galloway, he had horns.
He had horns?
Yeah.
More like a jazz band.
Yeah.
One was a string band. And they'd play on paydays.
Yeah.
Did they play out in the fields or in a closed place?
In the big houses.
Big houses, yeah. Or barns.
Yeah, big barn.
And did people dance?
Oh, yeah.
Dancing.
Dang.
What kind of tunes did they play?
They played almost all Buddy Bolden tunes.
Yeah. Where did Buddy Bolden get his tunes?
Hmm?
Where did Buddy Bolden get his tunes? Did he make them up himself? Or how did they happen?
He got most of them from the Holy Roller Church.
From the church? From the Holy Roller Church? And he would change them a little?
Yeah, well, sure he put his own feeling to it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Such tunes as what do you think he got from there?
Like the Saints and all this stuff like that.
Well, look who's here.
Hello. Makes me a...
This is
Make me a pallet on the floor. That was Bolden on number, you know.
It was. He wrote it.
Yeah.
Baby, you look beautiful. Woo.
That's my little daughter.
Very cute.
Hi, Babette.
Hi, Babette.
You should have seen her when we arrived in Paris.
Isn't she pretty?
They all started, after they yelled for him, we were still on the train, they started yelling for Babette. So he stood her up at the window of our compartment, and with all the flash bulbs going off, the band playing, and people yelling hurrah for Babette. She was blowing kisses to them and smiling.
I love it.
Just like a little old professional.
How old is she now?
She'll be 3 in June.
3 in June, huh?
Mm-hmm. She had
she's
rhythm,
big
too.
Girl.
You'll see her dance.
Yeah?
See it. Come on today.
Kid Ory, April 20th, 1957, Reel 2.
So you think that Bolden got most of his tunes from church, huh?
Yeah.
You mean like...
the world.
Is that so?
Ooh, what dampness.
You said that Bolden got his music from the church, and then you're going to say something else. You said, but also...
Well, he had quite a few of his own compositions, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me a pallet on
and
the
some
floor.
From the ragmen, you said.
Then, thought I heard Buddy Bolden say it with his number, too. And he got lots of his tunes from the ragman. He used to blow a toy horn.
Yeah.
And the guy used to play tune, and Bolden used to get ideas of a tune from there.
I don't know. Did you get
the ragman? You mean it
yeah,
come around to buy old rags?
Right, old rag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to play tunes, you mean?
Yeah, when a trip like a kid used for a Christmas toy horn, you know.
A kazoo.
Yeah. Kazoo, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, long, not that long.
You mean this ragman
like
had a lot of original tunes?
Yeah, and they used to play without a variable key on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Play a real tune.
That they made up themselves?
No, they might have a 10-cent store.
No, I mean the tune, did they make up their
yeah,
own
tune? Yeah, that's right.
Well, the so-called street cries weren't really street cries. I can remember them from when I was a little girl. In the East.
Mm-hmm. They like weren't, sometimes, some of the notes were a real true note, but it was enough to give you an idea if you want to copy and add to it, you know. And by Bolden, he stole that thing from the ragman.
When did you first see Bolden, do you remember?
When I bought my first good horn.
How old were you then?
14. Your first slide trombone.
No, valve. The valve trombone.
Was that a valve?
How old were you? Do you remember?
14.
Well,
he said.
I was, you see, was 10, played the job at the old horn. I guess the picnic. Have about 11 years old. It was a year later I bought the horn, you know.
Where did you meet Bolden?
I just bought my horn from a Worldline music store. And my sister was living in New Orleans, and I stopped with her, you know.
Is that the first time you went to New Orleans?
That was my first time, yeah. And I was running over the horn, running over, blowing its side, you know, it was sound, see. how I liked that blues. Or he tried it in the music store. And Golden happened to pass by and he heard the trombone and he knocked on the door.
You just walking down the street, you mean?
Yeah. Jackson and Robertson Street. Uh-huh. I was on Jackson. He heard the horn, he stopped, he rapped on the door. He said, "See, young man," he said, "are you blowing the trombone?" I said, "Yeah."
"Yes, dear."
He said, "Well, you know who I am?" I said, "I don't really." He said, "I'm the king." I said, "King who?" He said, "Bolden." I said, "No, Mr. Bolden." He said, "You live here?" I said, "No, not exactly. My sister lives here. I live out in the country." He said, "But I'd like to have you to work with me. Tell you sound very good."
Is that so?
He must have stayed out there and heard me play.
That was the first day you were trying out this new instrument.
Yeah.
Huh?
And so I said, "Wait a minute." I was so tickled, you know. I thought, "Oh, man, I'm going to play with King Bolden." I'm like my sister, I said, "Come here." I said, "Explain to my sister what you want." She said, "Oh, no, you have to go back home. You can't leave home until he's 21 years old."
Oh. What did he look like, Bolden? What kind of a man was he? Can you describe him physically?
Yeah, he's kind of on a Moranis style, you know, look, you know. Mm-hmm. His hair went black and not exactly red, but between the
I see.
Red and
black.
Uh-huh. And he never combed it, it was always just way out of cut, he used that way.
Uh-huh.
And
is he big or small?
Well, you see, the time I saw him then, he was the size of, say, Jim Robertson, but not quite as tall.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Strong man.
Strong, yes.
Strong.
Yeah.
Was he dark-skinned?
No, brown-skinned.
Brown-skinned.
And he never practiced in the house. He practiced on the box step out in the street, on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah?
He blow so loud, he blow everyone out of the house when he practiced. And he get out on the sidewalk and on the step and practice tune, and the kids all gang around, king balling, you know, dancing.
Girls?
Girls and boys and kids.
Everything.
Yeah, school kids and all.
How old was he when he came into the store there, do you think?
Who?
Bolden. How old was
Bolden? Going to his house.
He was there.
Oh, to his house.
Oh, I never knew Bolden right age, you know.
But he was a grown man, actually.
Oh, he wasn't there.
Or what?
Do you think he was in his 40s?
Or in his 30s?
Well, yeah, he was about 37, mm-hmm. 37 and 40.
What did his face, what did his face look like?
Well, he had a round face.
Plump or?
Yeah, plump and not very tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's well built, but not a tall man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that you know that resembles him at all?
Did he have a spread nose, sort of like the one you describe as a beet nose?
Beet nose, no. He had a fair, pretty nose. They were good. Wouldn't brag off it, but he
it was okay.
Medium.
It was a definite nose, yes, and not something, yes.
So you didn't
all
get to
face.
Play with him?
No, he wouldn't let me stay. I wanted to.
But no. You had made a promise.
I made a promise to him. Mother and Dad, I would live with my sister until I was 21. And I did. I was 21, 4:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock I was on the train. Beat it for New Orleans, I've been gone ever since.
Really?
Yeah. I stuck to my promise.
Did you stay in La Plata until you were 20? Yeah. You stayed in La Plata until you were 21 years old?
Yeah, and I bought my sister a home. She didn't have a home, I bought it.
In La Plata?
Yeah. Called it Cherokee Town, it's a village, you know,
uh-huh.
Something like this.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I bought a home for what good she did for me after I got all some money.
Uh-huh.
She died in that home.
Yeah. She died in this.
Until you were 21, what did you do in La Place?
Well, I worked in a sawmill a while, you know. So I bought the house, bought the lot first, and and I bought green lumber, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just come out from the saw, and he told me if I could get a wagon to haul it from my lot less dry than that I could build.
It was Cypress, too.
Yeah, and I wanted to take a mortgage on my lot. He had much so much confidence in me, didn't want any mortgage, just trust me. And I built a house.
Well, did you keep up the music all the way
playing,
through?
Sure, I was playing weekends. That's time I was playing between Baton Rouge, La Place, and Baton Rouge.
All the plantations?
All the sawmill towns, the cider halls, you know. Uh-huh. Every weekend I'd
play. Did you keep pretty busy?
Yeah, every weekend.
Could you make pretty good money?
Yeah.
What kind of place did you play in usually?
Dance halls.
What did they look like? Picnics.
Looking like another country dance hall, you know.
Uh-huh. Were they similar to the halls in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Like the Economy Hall and
something
so on?
Yeah.
Same idea.
Some was just as large, some was as large as that, and some was larger.
Well, they were
owned by societies, you know.
Out in the country.
Yeah.
Similar to our Grange halls.
They'd
of
be
the
packing jam too.
So when you were 21 years old, you came to New Orleans, huh?
To live, yeah. But after I bought my first good horn, and I felt like I wanted to go to New Orleans, you know, 90 cents, you know, to go there.
Yes.
So I'd go on on Mondays, I'd work Sunday, sometime I'd go through, wouldn't stop in the process, go to catch a dance on Monday, a lawn party, you know.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, the other band play.
Did you listen to a lot to the other band?
Yeah, it was Clem, Bolden, and...
Clem had the band, huh?
Yeah.
Was he a clarinet player?
Trumpet
player.
Blind, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Robichaud, was another one?
Three brothers, Johnny, Ed, and what the bass player name? Forgotten his name. And all dead.
What was your favorite band then, when you were going into town, like, once in a while, like?
Bolden was my favorite band.
Next favorite was Keppard.
Keppard
That's
came
later.
Up later. Yeah. No. Keppard came up just by the time I did New Orleans. Uh-huh. He used to play violin, you know. I met him out in the country with my little band. He came out there.
Who was playing violin?
Freddie Keppard.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before he played cornet, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were playing about 3 miles from them, and we sold out with no more beer, no liquor, no food to sell, and so we got up about an hour early, and we went down where he was playing.
Did he have his own little group?
Yeah, and he asked me to play with him. I played with him.
How was his
We had all the crowd.
Was he a fair violinist?
And the guy, who?
Keppard.
Oh, nothing to write home about. Uh-huh. But he was a good boy on the trumpet.
Was it a homemade violin or regular violin?
Yeah, we was playing a real instrument then.
And he was too.
He was professional. We was playing professionally then.
Yeah.
That's how I met Freddie. Mm-hmm. And I had a guy playing baritone for trombone in the band. He didn't have no trombone, he played a baritone. You know, mm-hmm. He plays with trombone. Willie Cornish, you heard of
Willie Cornish. Yeah. You mean a brass baritone horn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I asked him, I said, well, why are you playing the baritone? He said, that's the best I could do. I didn't have anything else to play on.
At least he was honest about it.
Were the Holy Rollers a pretty big group? Did they do a lot of singing?
Oh, yeah, they had drums and piano, while they sang, you know, clapping their hands.
Spirituals, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, gospel.
Gospel. Well, even the Baptist, some of the Baptist church had it.
What was your religion?
What?
What was your religion at this time?
Catholic.
Were you born a Catholic?
That's mm-hmm. right.
So you didn't go to Holy Roller churches or anything like that?
I don't want that to hear.
Did you ever go to listen a little?
Oh, sure, I dug it. I picked up on it a little.
Everyone else did, too, if they were honest enough to admit it.
Sure.
Because that's where it really started.
They had some instruments there sometimes, huh?
Well, yeah, you had a guy there, you know, just like we would call a guest on a show or something.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'd invite a trumpet player, trombone player to come over, play with them.
And everybody would sing?
Yeah, I'd sing.
You have to swing.
That's the way they sent the message, boy.
Yeah. Must have been great, too.
See, what we're doing now, we've been...
I heard that at Belmore, New Jersey.
60 years behind what happened, you know?
Sure.
I had to guess, you know, guest artist on the show.
Same darn thing.
Wasn't well, any well, name for it. You said, well, we invite 761 to come play with us tonight, you know? That's been going on since I was a kid.
Well, was Make Me a Pallet on the Floor a spiritual before it was a...
Well, the first one I played was Bolan, and he claimed it, so...
Well, that was Bolan's tune.
It was.
That's a profane song, if I
heard one. Yeah. I thought maybe...
Yeah, I don't think it would fit in the church.
No. I thought maybe not that's
the lyrics, no way.
No.
Unless they added new lyric, you know.
After all, it was about an illicit love affair.
I know, but I thought maybe, you know, Bolan had added different lyrics to it or something like that.
Who knows, you know?
No, they did everything.
But a lot of the numbers that they whipped up, they took old classical folk songs and all sorts of things and changed them over.
Last time I saw King Bolan, I saw him at Masonic Hall. And he had a little trouble. I would stay there until the dance was over on Monday night. And they had spent all the deposit he'd received on the engagement. And when they paid him the rest, he had enough money to finish paying the boys, you know. So he started itching it out. He said, here's your car ride, boys. He looked at that, he had 60 cents left. He said, this is for Chucky. No one gonna get this but Chucky. And Chucky, and he walked away.
Chucky?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
His wife.
That's the last time you saw him, huh?
Yeah.
Next time he heard of him, he'd gone crazy.
Yeah, he was in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah. Oh, he lived 4 years after.
I claimed they poisoned him. I don't know. Put something on his mouthpiece.
Yeah?
Oh, really? Is that what he said?
Some of the women. Oh, no, it was all
oh,
around
that's
the
what
hall
the people said.
Mm-hmm. You know, all around through the grapevine, you know.
Yes.
Oh, but he had lots of women.
Now, tell me, when you were 21 years old, exactly, you left Laplace and moved, is that right, moved to New Orleans?
That's right.
The very day.
Very day, I told
Christmas
that.
Christmas day, you got
I
on
told
the
that
train.
At 4:30, I was 21, and 8 o'clock, I was on the train. And I had, 3 miles to walk to get the train. And I walked and was there on time, and I got on that train. I've been gone ever since.
And that was your permanent leave of New Orleans?
Yeah. Laplace.
I mean, of Laplace. So when you arrived in New Orleans, that was in 1907, in other words, if you were 21 years old,
mm-hmm.
right? 1907. So what did you do when you arrived in New Orleans?
Well, I went to work in Storyville with a guy named George Jones till I could get my band there.
Joe Jones?
George.
George Jones.
The worst bass player in the world. It's the world.
You mean you were playing in the district?
Yeah, I was.
Where?
At Pete Lala.
At Pete Lala's,
mm-hmm.
with George Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That was your first. That was your first job in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of a place
then
was
my
Pete
brother
Lala's?
Had a saloon right across from Storyville on Condi and Claiborne. You know where that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a saloon there.
Oh, your brother had a saloon.
Yeah.
Huh?
And he had. Upstairs, and I had a nice room, you know, and having a rent to pay. He was married, he didn't live there, he just gave me a place to stay. And
was he older than you?
Two years older.
Yeah,
he was a businessman. You know.
Uh-huh.
Over there, grocery and bar all his life. Well, he went in the rice field business, he made a little money and invested in.
What was Pete Lawler's like? What kind of a place was it?
Well, something like Tin Angel, but just a little cleaner, you know.
A little cleaner.
Don't put that on it.
Don't worry about it.
We forget that. Skip that. I'll make a few bucks.
So was it about the same size?
No, I think Tin Angel a little larger.
A little larger. Was it shaped the same way?
Yeah, square.
Square.
And the bar was in the front. You know.
The bar was in front?
In front on
and where was the
on
back?
Condi Street and. And the building, you know, just right on the very corner.
Yes. And where was the bandstand?
Bandstand was the back, the bandstand, when you sit down, your back was towards Canal Street. It was one block from Canal Street, you see.
It was facing the bar then.
So the bar was on this side, and the bandstand was on this side, across from each other?
No, the bandstand faced the bar. The bar was right on the corner, and the building was down that way.
And the bandstand was here?
Yeah, facing the bar.
Facing
the back to Canal Street when you sit down.
Was it a raised bandstand?
Yeah.
Raised?
Yeah, about this high.
About that high from the floor?
Yeah. About 4 or 5 feet.
That's right.
And how many pieces did you have there? Did George Jones, how many pieces in his group?
Well, he first had 3, then he added me at 4. Then,
playing valve trombone?
Yeah.
Valve trombone with him?
Yeah.
What were the other instruments?
Well, had bass and guitar, piano.
What kind of people came to Pete Lawless?
Who?
What kind of people came there?
All kind of. Race horse people. Oh, you had a good spot there.
Yeah. Did they have girls, B girls and so on?
Look like sometime I had C girls.
Maybe all up there.
Now, did they have hustlers there? And was it the house like?
No.
It was a meeting place.
I mean, the girls were hustling on, you know, down the streets, you know, down the block, just crib, you see. Well, they make them a few dollars, they close up, you know, and say, well, I'm going cavalry in a while. They come in, you know, and pick up some guys and go back, you see.
A lot of action, huh?
Oh, man, clockwork.
What time did you start working there?
8 to 4.
8 to 4, huh?
Long hours, no union.
How much money were you making?
$1.50 a night and tips, but George didn't steal from us.
So how long did you stay there?
Well, I stayed there about 3 weeks.
Oh, that's all? And then?
Well, I got enough money and I sent for my band.
Oh, you sent for your own band?
Then I rented me a wagon and I had 2 signs made and advertised my band, new
band.
What
did the sign say? Do you remember exactly?
Huh? A new band in town.
New band in town?
Yeah, from La Place, Louisiana. Kid Ory.
No, it wasn't Kid Ory.
No, it was Woodland Band.
Woodland Band?
Yeah. Woodland? Kid Ory's manager, yeah.
Woodland?
Woodland, that Woodland Plantation.
In one word?
As of my dad's.
Woodland.
Yeah. Woodland, yeah. W-O-O-D-L-A-N-D.
Yeah.
And I advertised, went all over town. I rented a wagon, I had a sign made.
And
I had my phone number, brother's telephone number, headquarters, corner, and Claiborne.
Oh, you put the phone number and the address?
Everything. Boy, and the phone started ringing.
It didn't say Kid Ory, dear. You had the name Kid then.
No, I said no.
Woodland
Man. But you said Kid Ory manager.
Ory. You're right. You're right about that. I'm glad correction. So I advertised the band. I had my telephone address, the telephone, headquarters, Conti and Clinton, telephone.
Do you remember the telephone number?
Huh?
Remember what the phone
number? I
know
it was Maine, but I don't know what was there. So the phone started ringing. First job I got to the Globe Hall.
Oh, you mean you just paraded with nothing else in sight?
Anybody wants to stay and call up?
He said, first time that ever happened in New Orleans. That a band advertised himself that way. It was no newspaper then, you know, no magazine advertised, you know. You didn't get that. You had to go for yourself. So I had an idea. I said, I'm going to let people know I'm here. If nothing happened, I'll send the boys home. I can work in Storyville.
Did you have a wagon with horses?
Yeah.
How many? 2 horses?
2 horses, yeah.
And what was the wagon like?
Oh, a furniture wagon. You know, you saw the picture of it, yeah.
How did the band sit in it?
I just sat with the face to the back of the wagon. And tailgate on in. I was on the end.
Did it have a thing on top?
Huh? No, cover? I wasn't able to get one of those, you know.
So it was open.
Metallic.
This was the open.
This was an open. That's what I wanted.
What they call a drage.
Two signs on each side was closed, you know, the music sat in the back, you see.
Uh-huh.
If you'd been born here in America, Nessie, you'd have seen a lot of them when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They were still around. Even in my hometown.
Well, I'm too young. See, I was only born 18 years ago. How would they
know? You and Jack Benny.
The wagon had high sides on it then, huh? Or just
no, the signs made the side.
They come up about this side.
Oh, you put two big signs
on each side.
Then I had hand dodges, throw away cars.
Was it the same sign exactly on both sides?
Yes, yeah,
same
sign. The same thing.
We had the same words on both sides.
Any side I stopped, any corner I stopped to play, they could read, you see.
Mm-hmm.
People on this side could read too.
Who made the sign?
Huh?
Who made the sign?
Oh, some guy around there made it. I bought him a couple of bottles of beer. He made it.
Was he a sign painter? Was that his?
Yeah, he just liked me. And I knew didn't charge me anything.
Didn't charge you anything?
Well, he made them about 5 minutes. I say make them large and so people read them quick, you know. Who has to spell? And the phone started ringing. First job I got, the Globe Hall in Raleigh.
Globe Hall?
Yeah, it was a famous hall in there, right near the old basement.
Mm-hmm.
Settlers and Claiborne, and Claiborne and actually Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started working.
Oh, was it dance?
Yeah. All right. Capacity was about 2,000 people.
Oh, yeah?
They tore it down later. Then I started working over in Gretna. Weekend, and finally I began playing in the Carnegie Hall, Cooperative Hall, Marlin Boy, and later I began working for the Yacht Club, Country Club.
And all the society parties, too.
All the society part of them down St. Charles Street. More money, you know. I got away from the cheap skate. You know.
Did you play much in the district?
During Lent.
You could get a job in time you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're walking out with your band, look, see there's no band. Say, where you guys going? You want to work here? Yeah. What you paying? $1.50 a night, boom. You kept you eating, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you could buy so much with $1.50, you know. So, and you pick up probably $1.50 tip sometimes.
You mean you only work in the district during Lent? Why is that?
Catholic town there. The Catholic didn't dance.
During Lent?
Didn't they?
Oh,
everything shut down.
I see.
And he didn't want to stand in the district.
They're
Lent
not dancing. They had a good Catholic. They started dancing Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jelly Roll Mort never played outside the district. Never.
Did you know Tony Jackson?
Yeah. They didn't know Tony. Tony and Jelly were the star of Storyville at piano plays, you know, single, you know.
The two of them.
Mm-hmm.
People like Tony better, but he sang, you know. He sang good.
What kind of a voice did he have?
Huh?
What kind
nice,
of
a very nice. I wish I could
have a
recording.
Like a baritone or a tenor?
No, he was on most on the tenor like him.
High voice.
Mm, high voice. He had good octave, you know.
Yeah? Was pretty...
Yeah. He was on...
Big on the queer side.
He was a young lady.
Oh, God.
Where'd he play in the district?
Who?
Tony.
Oh, he played different houses, you know, Lulu White.
All
they did move around, you know.
Jolly did too.
Yeah, did, you know, fall out, you know, get... People lay off and say, well, I'm going to rest and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No one could get a job. Well, there wasn't any doors in the place. The place was open 24 hours a day. No doors on the bar.
Is that so?
No.
In the district, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
All day and all night?
Yeah, they threw the doors away.
So... how long did it take you to get established, you know, to get pretty well known in New Orleans with your own band?
Well, I'd say about 2 months time I was gone.
In about 2 months you had it, huh?
and Nader and I found out the guys were making so much money off of me, and I chartered two halls on late days, you know, before I left. The Economy Hall and Cooperative Hall.
What?
I tied them up for a whole year, you see. I rent both halls and I promote.
Is that so?
Yeah, I had Buddy Petit waiting for them when I couldn't. I put him in the other home and couldn't get in my place to do over there.
So he's making money off both of them.
So
and some of them he rented you didn't tell and kept dark.
What?
You rented some more halls and kept them dark.
Yeah.
When he didn't want any competition at all.
Well, I did the core. That's the one I'm speaking of, cooperatives. I kept it dark until I couldn't accommodate people at the Economy Hall. Then later, when I found out there's too many people, then I opened it up. Both of them opened.
How long did you keep the name Woodland Band?
Until I went and waited Lincoln Park.
When was
and
that?
The women all started calling me Kid in Lincoln Park.
The following summer.
The following summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Buddy Butler, he was the promoter, you know.
At Lincoln Park? Mm-hmm. What kind of place was Lincoln Park?
Oh, big, nice place. Big. Had a skating ring and a big pavilion.
What kind of skating ring?
Skate on skates.
Roller skates.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Doubled as a dance
yeah.
bar.
And a pavilion?
Pavilion, yeah. And the balloons go up every Sunday afternoon. And Buddy Butler used to go up in it.
Oh, yeah?
Until he came down and went through a chimney like this, you know.
You?
He made up his balloon a sense after that.
Who was that?
Buddy Butler. This guy put on this...
He was a promoter at Lincoln Gardens.
Yeah.
Buddy what?
Butler.
Butler. Buddy Butler.
How do you spell his name?
B-O-T-T-L-E-Y, Butler.
Butler.
Didn't somebody say Buddy Bolden went up in balloons?
No.
Mm-mm.
That's Butler.
But whose names got confused?
This is the guy.
See,
this
the
guy.
Of the park where Bolden was playing at that time.
I see.
He's
the
guy.
And he came down a chimney?
That's why he gave up going up in balloons.
He's the one who invented this dance ping pong.
I didn't know. No.
Yeah. Well, he's the one.
Is that so?
Yeah. Well, he used to wait for the guy owned the place. When the guy, I don't know what happened, if he died or what, then Buddy taking it over. Buddy was a big shot then, you see.
Buddy Bolden, you mean?
Yeah,
no, Buddy Butler.
Butler.
Uh-huh.
Don't get the buddies mixed up.
Well, didn't Buddy Bolden work at Lincoln Gardens?
Lincoln Park, yeah.
Yeah.
He worked there, too. Well, I'll finish telling you. So, you were speaking about me at Lincoln Park. So, it was a Woodland Band, you know. So when Buddy hired me to play at Lincoln Park, I was there about two Sundays. On the third Sunday, then I walked the place, I saw the sign up there on the boulevard, you know. Music by Kid Ory, you see. I said, see, where you get the idea of the Kid? You know what the girls call you? You the Kid from now on. You want to give him the name, Buddy.
Oh, that's the way you got the name.
It was Wish, darling. And it stuck.
Well, why did the girls call you Kid?
Hmm?
Why did they call you Kid?
I was small, young, you know.
Honey, be honest. Tell him what the real meaning of it is.
Well, I don't know.
Guy was very nice looking.
That's right.
And very sweet, and they sort of went for him, they called him, Oh, You Kid.
Love my wife, but Oh, You Kid.
Well, that's where that number came from later.
Yeah.
It could apply to either sex. And they kept calling him Kid because, after all, he was young and sweet-looking to them.
He still is.
Still
and
is.
Way. And so that's why I got the name Kid. Now, if you understand about
dark red.
Robichaud used to play before I started to playing there, you know.
Kid Ory, April 20th, 1957, Reel 3.
And he was very, very, very good looking. I've seen pictures of him.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You should see what his father looked like. He was so doggone good looking, it wasn't even
funny.
You
have a picture of that man?
It's in the bottom of the trunk out in the garage so it wouldn't get ruined.
And finished telling you, night before I started playing Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
When I used to go from La Place, you know.
Yes.
Robichaux played every Sunday, afternoon, Sunday night. Uh-huh. Buddy Bolden would play out, well, Marling Bird or Milling Bird, they called it then.
Yeah.
And at night, Bolden would come, they'd have skating ring in the afternoon and, you know,
mm-hmm.
one place, no dancing in the pavilion. The balloon would go up, Buddy used to go in the balloon. Well, at night, Buddy Bolden would come in and wake the skating ring as a dance. The both places would run.
They were both
same
playing
ground, yeah, same
in Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
One in the pavilion and the other on the skating rink.
Yeah, that's right.
How far apart were the pavilion and the skating rink?
Well, I'd say about 75 feet.
Must have been a lot of music in that park.
And Bolden used to put his horn out the window
yeah.
and start blowing. The minute he got into the place, and they'd all leave Robichaux and traipse over to Bolden's.
Yeah,
they said he was calling the children home.
Yeah, he likes to say, well, boy, let's call our children home, you know. But it's on the way.
In American jazz came from the African jungles.
Oh, that's nonsense.
And it's not true.
Well, hell, they haven't got it now. How could it come from there?
That's right.
Just as much came from the American Indians.
Sure.
Because they worked in, when they first
Are
came
you
over
now?
Here.
You're talking about Lincoln Park.
Was the skating rink...
He just finished telling you about Buddy Bolden putting his horn out the window and calling the children home. Now tell what John Robichaux wrote because of that, because how hurt he felt that everybody deserted him.
Well, wait a minute. Was the skating rink in a building of some kind?
Yeah, it was a building.
Mm-hmm. So the hole in the wall was in the wall where he put the horn, is it? Yeah.
Well, a window.
Through a window.
Through a window.
Just a regular size window, you know, not a large window like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just now, probably the trombone and the trumpet could put the horn out there, you see, it could hear him to the pavilion, you see.
Was the pavilion open, an open pavilion?
It was built with lots of windows all around it, like this, you know. They could raise them up, you know, get warm, get air, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they had a better
And
floor
the skating
because
rink was closed with just ordinary windows.
Which one was bigger in size?
The pavilion. The
pavilion was bigger.
But the skating rink had the better floor.
Better floor.
Uh-huh.
What did that balloon?
Music sound better in the pavilion than the skating rink. It was built for that.
Yes.
But people liked Bolden better.
And they could dance better.
And
Rocha
had a good band, musically, you know.
Yes.
They played everything they played that music in front of them.
They were reading everything.
And George Becky and all those guys.
Yeah.
What did that balloon look like that fellow went up in? What kind of balloon was that?
Well, it was made out of cloth, you know.
Was it painted? Was it colored or just a plain balloon?
Just a regular...
Like canvas?
Canvas, yeah, that's right.
And he came down the chimney one day?
Yeah, his parachute didn't open, you see.
Well, did it hurt him?
Oh, he came out full of smut, that's all. He said, give me a beer, that's all he wants.
So then he got wedged in the chimney and have it...
And he pulled his mouth on the bottom of it down
so
below.
So when did you start at Lincoln Park?
Oh, let me see.
After Bolden?
Summer of 1908.
Oh, yeah, Bolden. Bolden was gone then.
Bolden. He was gone then?
Yeah.
Was Robichaux still playing
there? I followed
then?
Robichaux in there.
Oh, you followed Robichaux?
Yeah.
In the pavilion?
Yeah.
You played in the pavilion.
In
1908.
And
I taken all the Robichaux Wake, all the yacht club and the country club up and down St. Charles Tree, the gymnasium. Then he came and said, young man, you play a nice horn. He said, I'd like you to work with me. I said, thank you, Mr. Robichaux, I'm doing all right. Call him Mr. Robichaux.
But was your band a reading band or did you play by ear mostly?
Oh, we played by ear.
Like Bolden's band. So.
Yeah, but we had a conception, you know, tone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bolden was very rough, you see.
Did
you have
you
to give him credit
those?
For starting the ball rolling, you know.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really a musician.
Yeah. Who, Bogan?
He didn't study. I mean, he was gifted. Yeah. I mean, playing, you know, with effect, but no tone, you know. He played loud, you know.
Very loud, huh?
Not high, but loud.
I see.
And people love it.
Yeah.
He went for it.
Did you still keep the same musicians that you brought from La Place, or were you changing your band?
No, I had all the same musicians.
Same musicians.
And finally...
Well, you lost one of them. He got married and had to go back home. His bride wanted to go back, and that's when you got Tutti Garland.
Oh. Foster Lewis, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but he never did go. He never did come to Orleans.
One that came to New Orleans that got married, and his bride wanted to go back to La Place, and you replaced him with Garland. Which one was it? Must have been a bass player.
That was Foster Lewis.
No. He didn't come to New Orleans with
him. No, that Foster Lewis didn't.
No. Well, who was the one that took Foster Lewis's place?
A guy named Jake White, I just told you. It was the best player that I ever heard in my life. The world's greatest voice.
Really? The world's greatest voice?
Voice. then Manuel Perez told me about Eddie Garland. He was playing this at the Dixon Park two bands.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I told my Emily to know a good bass player. See, yeah, I know a guy driving the bell wagon, Eddie Garland. He used his phone number, I called him.
He was driving a what?
Bell wagon, hauling empty barrel, wine and whiskey.
Oh, is that so?
Beer.
Hmm?
Beer. Wine, whiskey, and beer barrels.
Yeah. Was he bowing at that time or playing like this? Do you remember?
Mostly picking.
Mostly picking, huh?
Bowed a little bit.
Were you in Little White's very much?
Mm.
How did those girls dress?
Oh, they changed clothes every minute. Didn't have much clothes on, no.
What
changed their gown, like, you know.
In Lulu's? Just a sort of chemise or something like that?
Well, did they dress a lot? Did they dress in fancy clothes sometimes?
I never did see them on the street, you know.
No, I mean inside, in the house.
No.
No?
Or the negligee and their robe and things, fine, you know, out clothes, you know. I mean...
But they weren't all dressed up?
Not in evening gowns or things like that.
No, yeah. It was upstairs. When the guys walk in, they come in down like racehorses.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, y'all.
Pair off and go, huh? When do you first remember seeing Louis Armstrong?
On a parade on a Labor Day. He's the next band, the little kid band, you know, from home.
Oh, you mean he had a band of his own?
No, that was the home band.
The Orphanage.
All the
He and Kid Rene.
He and Kid Rene were in the band?
Yeah, they were both in it.
Did your band play in the Labor Day Parade too?
Yeah, my band right in front of me.
Uh-huh.
I heard a trumpet back there.
Was it, this is a little later or about the same time as?
Well, that's what
a few years later?
Then,
1912,
Papa,
wasn't
Papa
it?
Papa Mutt was with me then.
Well, Papa Mutt was playing trumpet.
1912, that would be.
You heard this?
No, it was Matthews playing trumpet, wasn't it? Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
You heard this trumpet behind you?
Yeah. And, you know, a nice, good, solid tone, you know. And I turned around and we stopped for a break, you know. And after we had quit playing and they were still playing, we stopped for a beer break, you know, a sandwich. And he's blowing and I tapped him. I said, come here, I tell you. I said, you're doing a good job. You know, thank you, Mr. Murray. I said, you're going to be all right someday, you keep it up. So I kept him in mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I take Mud after Matthew dropped out and later.
Did you used to see him here and there? I mean,
who?
Did you run into him?
Well,
did
he
you...
got out at the right after that, you know.
Yeah.
He got out of the home.
Yeah.
And he used to run a little honky tonk going there and play a little bit, you know, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't right after that, honey.
Yeah.
was it, I mean, years after
a while after, I can't recall just how long. Well, I had Mutt after a
Matthew,
then I had Oliver.
Until finally 1916 rolled around, then he had Louis.
And had Louis.
Well, did Louis sit in with your band before he joined the band?
Yeah, he used to go to National Park and sit in.
In National Park?
Got Black Benny's time to address, you know, so many people. He, Louis Van Short, Neat Rather, and Graham Van, he would come and play Old Miss and Blue. Sister Kate, yeah.
With your band, you mean you just sit in with the band?
Yeah, pulling for on the stand was high.
That was when Mutt was with you, because he used to borrow Papa Mutt's horn.
Mutt was with you. He used to come and play Papa Mutt's horn.
But when Oliver was with him, he just wasn't sitting in then.
No.
What kind of tunes did he play with you?
Who?
Louis, when he sat in like that.
He played such Old Miss.
Old Miss.
And Sister Kate, that's his number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The real title of it is Keep Off Katie's Head, you know. That's his number.
That's what I know. Louis says he wrote it, though. Yeah.
But Oliver, Piron.
Piron took it.
Stole it.
You know, like, what's his name? Clarence Williams stole your Do What Ori Say.
Mm-hmm. Call him Mama's Baby Boy. You know?
Yeah.
We didn't have any cover.
Louis was wearing short pants then?
Yeah.
Sure.
Black Benny had him tied on a string?
No,
or to
his
wrist, like a handcuff, you know.
Why?
So you wouldn't get lost in the crowd. Wouldn't come any harm.
Where would you say this was? National Park?
Yeah, Third and Willow.
Third and Willow? Was this same kind of a place like Lincoln Park, that kind of a place?
It was open there and park, just like a baseball park.
I see.
After the game, they put a big platform down and put all the boys up, you know, the beer and food and stuff. In the summertime, it run, not year round, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Summer season. Yeah, Paul, you know, packing jam.
And then Louis finally joined your band?
Yeah, after Oliver left. I had an offer to go to Chicago, you see. And that time I had the two halls, you know.
He was making too much money, don't you?
$50 a week in Chicago, I mean, $300-$400 a night off my dances, you know. And working on restaurants. I said, why? You go out of business to go work for someone for nothing. Made it Chicago. So Joe Oliver and Jimmy Noon was with me then. He said, we'd like to go to Chicago. I said, you want the job? I said, here's the telegram. Right.
So they went.
They took the job.
They
were
enough to get car fare from the man, Joe and Jimmy. I said, did you guys get your transportation to get some advance money? He said, no. So we got our fabulous, and we don't want to get down and think to eat, so I give both of them $10 apiece, you know, and buy you lunch. Good luck to you.
Did they live together, Jimmy and King?
I went to the station with them.
Oh, yeah?
I found out they didn't have any money. They only had money enough to take them to Chicago, their own money. Should got, you know, a few $100 in advance money. Take them then, you know, so they could live. So, I give each of them $10 each. It was lots of money, you know, could buy plenty of money.
What was the roughest place around town that you remember playing?
The roughest place? That was the... used to be an old church on Perdita Street. It changed two or three times. Sometime when dancers would get... go down, you know. Then they open for a Baptist church, you see. Some pretty jack-leg preachers coming in, put a big sign, Reverend so-and-so, you know. And he'd preach himself away, then someone come back and open for a dance hall. After all, it's called the Funky Butt Hall.
Funky Butt Hall.
Yeah.
Was that a pretty tough place?
Huh?
Tough place, huh?
Toughest place I ever played.
What happened?
Well, if you didn't have a razor or a gun, you couldn't get in there.
You weren't safe.
What part of town was that in?
Perdita and Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
I played there once.
Just once, huh?
He wouldn't go back.
Was there fighting going on and so on while you were playing?
Oh, yeah. On the sidewalk, in the hall.
Arthur?
I wish you see the place, how it looked. Wreck of the old barn, you know, out in the country, a forsaken place.
And who gave parties there? Who promoted
they
that place?
Dance. Anyone you could rent, anyone.
Like anybody could rent it.
Yeah. I tell you, it went from Baptist Church back to dance
here,
hall,
Arthur.
Dance hall, Baptist Church.
Daddy.
Tough.
How long did you stay in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Well, let me see. When I went there, what year was it, Ben?
1907, you left in 1919.
1919 you left. Why did you leave?
Because I wanted to do better. I felt bad. Felt like I was going to lose my health down there.
Oh.
I stayed away. Doing all right.
Plenty of work.
The climate there isn't good.
I had close to a $500 deposit on different jobs. I returned it all back to the promoters and told them, sorry. The way you're honest, man. Told them I would lose my health. That's the only way I could get out of the contract. Which I wasn't lying about.
So, where did you go when you left?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Did you take a band with you?
No. Just taking a vacation, looking around. I was on my way to Chicago.
On your way to Chicago?
Long way to Chicago.
I was on my way to Chicago and stopped in Los Angeles.
Did you come by train?
Yeah. And soon I found out I was in town, and the guy opened up a nightclub. Right across near the Union Station on Central Avenue. Big business. Never had man you man that I sent for him.
Oh yeah? When you got the job, did you send for a band? It's all right, you can talk. No, you can talk. You can sit down, you can sit back.
Oh yeah, I sent for a band. I sent for Louis and
Louis?
Yeah. Louis went back to New Orleans at the time.
Oh.
And by the time my telegram got there, he had just left.
For Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Went with Joe.
So who'd you get?
Papa Martin.
And who else?
My boy named Alfred William Drum and Manuel Mineta. And there was three. Oh, and Wade Willie, clarinet, you know.
Yes, I know.
What, was Mineta playing violin?
Piano.
Piano.
No, piano. He played violin too. Played trumpet too.
But in your band, where
no,
did you play?
Piano.
Did you have on bass?
No bass.
No bass.
We skipped that part. Isn't this your pen? Pencil?
Oh. My pencil.
I want to say pencil.
Scripto, that could lead.
Did you play many parades in New Orleans?
Okay.
Yeah, when I felt like it.
When you felt like it?
I had a brass band. I just called guys together.
What did you call your brass band?
Kid Ory's Brass Band. Had my signs all over.
Oh, yeah? Did you play funerals?
Yeah. Sometimes I was so tired, I would not turn them down. I'd turn them over to the other band, you know.
Do we have any of those barbecue chips?
Mm-hmm.
About putting some out, two bowls.
Most of the funeral I used to play for all the gamblers, you know, and the hustlers, you know. They all used to support me, all my dancers, you see.
Mm-hmm.
When a friend would die, but they wouldn't give a guy a dollar when he was hungry, but when he died, they put up $5 to bury him.
Yeah.
You getting my point?
Sure.
Maybe on the theory, I'll be glad when you're dead, you rest for you.
Yeah.
What was the biggest funeral that you remember? I mean, the You know, the most, the most to do.
You forgot the bus?
Well,
I told you, I remember things.
Yeah, saw or played or.
Let me see. I don't
know whether you get that guy in New York.
Oh. Boy named Kirk. He was the hottest pimp, they call him, in Thoroughville.
Yeah.
And Diamond and his garters and all of them and his mouth.
Diamonds, huh?
Yeah. He had about the biggest
tumor. I love them, but I begin to get a tummy ache after I eat too many of them.
Yeah,
I can't stop.
Did they have...
So we stopped at a corner and, you know, police flagged them down to slow down. And the police said, must be the President of the United States must be dead. So many people, yeah.
So the president of the pimps.
Yeah, the pimp, hey, well, he was right there in one way. Man, there was a pimp, but right.
A whole lot of people there?
Oh, yeah.
How many bands? One band? Two
bands? Well, I think you had three bands.
Three bands.
When you had three bands, you had, you were in big business.
Yeah, that was a real...
That was a real funeral. Whoop-de-doo.
Any of the girls come out?
Oh, more girls than men.
Really?
The men was a holler, I'm glad you did, you rascal.
Girls upset?
Oh, yeah, cried. Wearing veil, you know.
How did you happen to make those first records? Tell us about that first record session.
You mean with...
The Spikes Brothers in the Nordskog Studios.
Oh, after I started playing, I told you I sent you for my band.
Yeah.
And Spike Brothers, they both was saxophone players, you know.
Yeah.
One played a saxophone. And so they opened a music store in Los Angeles and then they asked me to record for them.
Where were you?
Well, when I had to record, I was here in Oakland. I was working in Oakland at Creole Cafe and Third and Wolf. And so I went down on, after the engagement, though, I went down. No, I made a special trip. Go down and record for them.
You took the whole band with you?
Mm-hmm.
You went on the train?
Yeah.
Where was the studio?
On Santa Monica Boulevard. I don't remember the address.
Was it near the beach or what?
Yeah, going to the beach.
How big was the room?
Oh, I guess about like this size. Might have been a smaller.
Small.
Shabby looking place.
Shabby looking place.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of equipment did they have? Do you remember?
They had the Honda, you know, the microphone you used to sing in. Megaphone.
Megaphone.
Mm-hmm. You're playing back up, you know.
Like the ones you saw on the old Victrolas.
Was there just one?
No, each man had one. The horn, you know.
Oh, each man had one?
Yeah.
Oh, there was one for each instrument.
Yeah, for the horns especially, yeah. Well, they had for others, but they didn't have to. The drums and things, they'd shade long, you know, the way we played, but the horns had to be careful back up.
Did you make all the records in one day?
Yeah.
With two singers?
That was my first record. Huh? Yeah.
Two different singers,
yeah.
And then the two sides,
yeah,
of the band.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to make those records?
Oh, about 3 hours.
How were you dressed? Do you remember?
He was not in a tuxedo. That story is
a... The guy come out with a story, you know. He said, when he asked me to record, I said, why, shall I wear a tuxedo?
I heard that story. That's why I'm asking you.
Nordskog.
That's God. He just made a joke out of it.
He told me that.
Yeah.
I know. He called us on the telephone. Let me see, it was around...
That's not a true story.
Well, we didn't have 1950. No tuxedo.
That's not a true story.
We didn't have.
No.
I was wondering, that's why
we didn't have any tuxedo. No.
You were just dressed in plain street clothes?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know, when you came for the record session?
Yeah, regular clothes, street clothes.
Did you make more than one...
What?
...take on each tune or just play it once?
Oh, some of them came out... All right, Orris Creole trombone came out good first time.
First time, huh?
But those, you know, the vocals, you know, had to go with them again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's time we had Dink Johnson was playing on.
How did you happen to pick him?
When the one Wade was there.
Was he in your band, Dink Johnson, here?
Wade had stayed, and he stayed in Oakland. He didn't know to go down.
Oh, you picked Dink Johnson up in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. And he spat his feet so loud, we had to go get a mattress out of bed so he could put on his feet.
Really?
You go pound the drum and everyone. Well, the drum didn't really record, you know.
Didn't record, huh?
Didn't.
Ben Borders was your drummer. He was a pretty good drummer, wasn't he?
Fair.
Fair.
Even though on a bop style drummer, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't have much beat on the bass drum.
Who do you think is the best drummer that you ever played with?
You ever had in my band?
Yeah.
Henry Martin.
Henry Martin, huh?
And next, Ed Robinson. Boy, started out with him. Kind of might have to pull a straw between the two, but I still thought.
They were both great, huh?
But then one was the metronome. You couldn't move him after you stomp your feet. Couldn't make him go faster. You couldn't make
him go
slower.
Is that so? He was really steady.
Oh, boy. And he quit playing drums, he could play guitar, and he stopped. Isn't that funny?
That's hot.
They're barbecue.
It's very good.
Right?
Wonderful. Listen. So when did you go to Chicago?
1925.
Were you here all the way until 25?
Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles or here, huh?
Between here and Los Angeles.
What made you go to Chicago?
I want to see the country. I had work. Oliver was waiting for me, and I disbanded.
He gave away two of his bands.
I gave Papa Mudd my band.
One of them, and gave Tootie Garland another.
Another one.
They were always trying to be leaders, anyway.
So I gave them a band. They never did do nothing.
He came home, found them starving when he came back to the West Coast.
So
give him a job again.
You went there in 25. What did you do when you got to Chicago? Had you ever played in Chicago before that?
No. No, soon I arrived there. I arrived on a Sunday night. And I went to an entertainer, and the Carl Dixon band was playing. Nora Dutte was playing trombone, you know?
Yeah.
And I walked in there alone. And see Lucrece Biden and said, "Hey, kid." And they had a break, they all came to the table and told me I met Carl and all the boys and insist on me playing a couple numbers with them.
Oh yeah? You mean that night?
That night. And so there was a guy in there, Tate. I guess you heard Cook.
Doc Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to trombone player for the number two band, Municipal Pier, and Chicago was going to open up in a week. Well, 5 days, we had five more days. We were going to open up for the summer, yeah. And so he said, he asked me to play, and I want to play. And Cook hired me to play. So I went out then, went from 8 to 12. Next couple of days, Nora Dutre taking me Alzheimer's, so sick. Then I worked the two jobs.
Both Carol Dickerson?
And yeah, work first, you know, I would go to work at 1 o'clock with Carol Dickerson.
Oh, I see.
Work from 8 to 12 with Cook out at the lake. And I started recording with Louis.
The Hot Five Records.
Then when I wound up, I was recording with 8 bands for 5 years.
How long did you stay in Chicago?
From 25 to the latter part of 29.
Oh, that late? You were there all those years, huh?
Mm-hmm. No,
I went to New York.
New York,
you know, with Oliver.
In 1927.
Came back. Oliver had no work, and I came back and worked with Dave Payton.
What was the first record session in Chicago?
Hot Fire. Louis wrote to me and told me he's going to leave Fletcher. He heard I was coming to Chicago, would I record with him, you know. Then I worked at Dreamland with Louis after that, you see, after Dutre got well, and Al was waiting for me.
I asked Ed one question. why he didn't have a band of his own in Chicago. You know the answer I got? He was fed up with the responsibilities.
Yeah.
And on every recording date, since he had to record starting at 8:30 in the morning, he'd tell them he was too tired. He just finished at 4:30. He always ran his price up. He got double what the leader got on every recording session. And he finally got to the point where he was making so doggone much money that everyone who was spending theirs right, left, and forward, and he was being nice and saving with his.
I had more publicity.
He would lend it to them at 10% interest, mind you.
Is that so?
And he left Chicago well padded.
Business on the side, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last band I played, a guy wanted to kill me because he hadn't loaned him $500 yet. He was married and he...
gotten some girl in trouble.
Yeah, some young girl, you know. Yeah, he wanted to shoot me because I wouldn't loan him $500. So on what? Where's your security? Where do have you got it? I got the cost. I wouldn't give it $2 for it myself. I said, can you get any money out of the bank from the bank as a loan on that car? She said, no. I said, why pick on a poor man like me?
He even got more money than Louis did on the recordings. For the good and simple reason, he got to the point where he was just too tired. Unless he was paid enough, he didn't want to pick up his horn and blow.
How much rehearsing did you do for those records then? Huh? How much rehearsing did you do for those records?
Oh, we didn't write. We rehearsed right in the studio before we start. Say about, if we're going to do 8 numbers, we're recording, say about 45 minutes an hour at the most for the whole 8 numbers.
Really?
And that went for Jelly Rolls, famous records that everybody says were so well rehearsed. Ha!
Kid Ory, April 20th, 1957, Reel 4.
Did you know General from New Orleans?
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I told you, General never crossed Canal Street as a musician to play,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But you hadn't played with him in New Orleans, you just knew him.
No.
Yeah.
No, I
mean, how'd he dress in those
his
days?
Name was Whining Boy, that's what it is.
Whining Boy,
huh? Yeah. Where'd he used to whine when he walked, you know. No, I'm trying to call him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that why they call him Whining Boy?
Yeah.
I never knew why they called him Whining Boy.
You know.
What was the idea of that, walking that way?
Well, they call him Whining Boy. The women like the way they used to like
that. A real sharp walk?
Yeah.
Yeah, sharp walk. You know,
showing off they, what he had to offer, I
put
suppose.
The hat down and one suspender down here on the church lead, you know.
How'd Jelly dress in those days?
Oh, dressed nice.
What kind of clothes?
Oh, tight leg trousers, well, this in style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
High roller hats.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of shoes?
Button shoes.
Button shoes.
Sharp, man, sharp.
What kind of shirts do you wear?
Silk shirt.
Was he a pimp? Was he, what, do you do a little pimping on the side?
He was a kind of a pimple.
He was, huh?
Yeah.
Did he have girls working for him?
I don't know. He asked me a little too early. But he worked all right.
They sure acquired those diamonds there.
He was all right. He did all right.
Was he nice to you?
Oh, yeah.
Were you good friends?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He came to Los Angeles, I had Paul Barrow, you know, as a few,
yeah.
You remember.
Yeah.
He wanted to organize a band, he'd actually play, but he didn't have anything to offer.
Yeah. But you made a lot of records with him in Chicago.
Yeah.
But they weren't the well-rehearsed jobs.
You didn't rehearse those much either?
No.
Did he have any music at those record days?
He had music, but he told me not to worry about my part, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
I played what he wrote for me, and he, that don't sound like you. They could get turned that over.
Uh-huh.
But you guys play what you see.
And so some
he told Sammy, told Sammy to, you know,
uh-huh,
to go for himself.
Yeah.
Spot, you know.
Yeah.
But he told me don't worry about it.
I can't write your music.
Mm-hmm. Are those silk shirts white, colored, or
different color? Mostly colored, you know, striped.
Bright colored?
Yeah.
Striped?
Yeah. When it rang the other day and she grabbed the receiver and said, "This is Mr. Babette Ory."
An even funnier one than that that she pulled about a month ago. She pointed to Daddy, she says, "Kid Ory," and then she pointed in where I was in my bedroom at the time, she says, "Kid Mommy," and she pointed herself and she says, "Kid Me."
That's right. So where were we?
We'll talk about how Jelly used to
dress. Oh, but yeah. How did you used to dress in those days?
Well, I went on with the rest of them, you know.
Yeah?
And tailor-made suit and high roller hat.
What kind of shoes?
Huh?
Shoes?
Regular shoes. I had one pair of button shoes. I didn't like them.
Uh-huh. What kind of ties did you wear?
Well, string ties like that, or bow ties. Different. In the days, it was mostly bow ties, you know.
But he didn't go in for the loud shirts.
I didn't go in for the loud shirts.
White shirts, usually.
Plain white shirts.
Did those loud shirts have a regular collar or a sport collar? Or?
Well, some came with collars, and you could wear a different collar.
Oh, separate collar.
Separate, yeah.
Where did you work mostly in Chicago? What kind of places did you work in?
I worked in Dreamland, Plantation, Sunset.
It's a volleyball room?
Savoy Ballroom, Entertainer, Night City.
Were some of those...
Greystone Hotel.
Were some of those gangster joints and so on?
Yeah.
Did you ever see Al Capone?
Yeah, I knew Al.
Hmm?
Sure.
You did know him?
Yeah, all the boys, yeah.
Yeah? Did you work
gang,
for him?
Yeah. No, I didn't wait for him. He's coming to the club.
Uh-huh.
Plantation all the time.
The Plantation, huh?
They used to bring him liquor, good liquor.
The guys, they were very nice to me. Probation time, they used to give me the best liquor to be drinking out.
Really?
Give me a fifth of them.
What did they do when they came to a club?
Huh?
What did they do?
They sit down and drink and have a good time.
Put their guns on the table, though.
Did they have girls with them?
At times.
Times. Sometimes just...
No, just men. Sometimes.
Just men.
What was the plantation club like?
It was one of the finest clubs in those days.
What part of Chicago was it?
I was on 35th and Calumet. You know, between South Park and the Calumet. Going there. One block from South Park.
Mm-hmm.
And Ness was right across the street. Sunset was over this way. Three clubs right together.
Was Jimmy Noon at the Ness at the
time? Yeah, after hours. Louis was across the street.
At the Sunset?
Yeah. Three clubs there, right?
Three clubs right there.
Was it a big club?
Oh, yeah.
Plantation? Yeah. Was it an after hours place, too?
No.
Oh,
legit, yeah.
Legit place.
Yeah.
That's a microphone.
I know, only good business.
Yeah. What did it look
every
like?
Every thing
inside?
You say is recorded.
What did it look
in
like?
At Plantation?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, there was, well, I forget, there was about 25 years ahead.
Oh, yeah?
How's that?
I mean, and improved. Being a nice looking club, nice looking place.
Uh-huh.
The atmosphere was fine, the acoustic was good.
What?
Everything.
What band were
nice
you working
in? Bandstand. Everything was up. Nice rugs on the floor. Table there.
People dancing.
A nice beer.
Did they have a floor show?
Floor show.
They did? What kind of shows did they have?
Huh?
Did they have a floor show?
Yeah.
What kind of shows did they have? What kind of entertainment?
All different kind of shows. That guy used to produce a show. They have different every 4 weeks that change, you know.
Did they have a line? Did they have chorus girls?
Oh, yeah. Dave Payton used to write music for them.
Oh, Dave Payton. Did he have the band, too?
Ooh.
Was it his band, Dave Payton's
King
band?
Oliver's band.
Oh, King Oliver's band.
Yeah. He used to write some tough music there, too.
So you had to do a lot of reading in that band, huh?
That's for sure, yeah.
Who was hanging around with, who would come in with Capone?
Oh, I don't know the guy's name.
Oh, were many of them come in together, or just a few of them, or?
Oh, some time at times, you know, mostly they put a big gang together, you know, 5, 6, 10, 12, you know, at parties.
Make sure nothing happens.
Well, sometimes he told me the rival gang had come in and sit on the other side of the room.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then the tension would mount in the place.
Who was the rival gang? What was the name of that guy?
Moran, wasn't it?
Moran, yeah. They got him St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
He'd bring his gang in there, too?
Mm-hmm. No, he's coming, yeah. He went all over.
Nice, comfortable feeling, have two gangs, rival gangs
did
in the place?
Did people clear out of there when they were...
No.
No?
No.
Everybody stayed there at a good time, huh?
Yeah.
They all kept their guns on the table.
Were you ever in a place where they were shooting? Did that ever happen to you?
Once in Sunset, started shooting. I don't know who it was the gang.
Were you playing there or just...
Yeah.
You were playing at the Sunset.
I found myself behind the stove in the kitchen.
She wasn't about to take a gentleman shot.
I got warmed up, you know.
I'd call that being downright sensible.
They didn't put the heater on you, though.
No,
he took his own heater for protection, the stove.
I just smelled it with fried.
What happened? Somebody just started shooting at me?
Yeah, it started. Yeah.
No, were you playing with Louis at the time? At the Sunset? Was Louis there with you?
No, I was with Boyd Atkins' band.
Oh, Boyd Atkins.
That's Chicago, Vagabond, they call it.
Larry Blowett.
With Thomas Louis' band, you know. But no one really there. No one didn't get hurt. Yeah, I was on the L when the morning that the Moran gang was murdered, you know.
Uh-huh.
I got off in Cicero to take a lesson.
Taking tone lessons then.
Tone lesson, you know. See if I was right in my toning, you know.
Uh-huh. Who were you taking lessons from?
A German guy.
A German guy?
Take a few lessons to him, he couldn't help me. Tomorrow should be teaching him. And well, you know, I heard his records, you know.
It's been on the symphony.
Symphony,
a long time.
You know. Didn't play a jazz.
Uh-huh.
So I get off the train to go take a lesson, and at night, this thing happened, you know.
Uh-huh.
I get off the train and they grab my case. Thought I had a machine gun. In Cicero.
Oh, yeah?
Who grabbed it? The cops?
Plainclothes man. Must have been a cop. So I opened it up and let him say. So I went to, I kept going to the guy's house when I got down knocking people. He said, go.
Really?
Yeah.
They were all scared to death at that.
Blow it.
Blow it out, boo. Blow it out. Go ahead. Blow hard, quick. Hurry up.
You want to burn me?
Blow. Oh, you want to be. Don't be funny. I'm bluffing that. Give me a boy. No, they was all right, you know. They didn't wear a musician. Very nice to
what music. Were the best bands that you heard in New Orleans before you left New Orleans? Say between 1910 and 1919.
Best band?
Some of the best bands, you know.
Well, I like Freddie Kepper's band better than I did all the rest of them.
You did, huh? Did you play was it a band similar to your own band?
Huh?
Was it the same kind of a band as yours?
Yeah. I think Freddie was very powerful, you know, trumpet player. He really played lots of trumpet down there.
Was he the best trumpet player in the city?
Sure. Until Joe came up, you know, with a different style, you see.
Yeah.
Well, Freddie at that time, Freddie had gone, you know, had left.
Yeah.
Left.
Right. Did you use mutes much, Freddie, or did you play open most?
No, I never seen Freddie use a mute yet.
Open, huh? Always open. Did you do much playing in the streets?
Who?
Your band.
Yeah.
Advertising and so on?
I advertise more than a band ever been in New Orleans.
Really?
It pays to advertise.
When did you advertise?
Oh, it depends. Sometimes I'd be busy on the Sundays, playing at the lake, you know, picnics.
Uh-huh.
You know, and have a dance Monday night, I'd advertise midweek.
In midweek?
Any day.
Is that so?
I see where I could do it. Just take it late in the afternoon, you know.
Where did you
catch
play?
Catch the people. Huh?
At the lake, where did you play?
Or different pavilion out there.
They
in the camps, you mean?
Camp, yeah. Call them pavilion too, some camps.
You played a lot of the private homes out
private
there, too.
Private home, yeah. Tranchina.
Did you play at Tranchina's? Mm. Did you play in Spanish Fort?
Yeah. Bucktown.
Bucktown?
I played in every corner. They like music.
Did you run into other bands sometimes when you were advertising?
Oh, boy.
Huh?
That was my main out.
What happened? Tell me.
Well, we fight until one get tired, the band. Get tired, look like I always went out.
Did you ever go out looking for the other band?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I paid extra, you know. I was the first one advertising the automobile truck, you know. So we could catch the other band. Catch the horses, they couldn't get out of the way, you know. It was lots of fun, you know. And most of the band would just blast and play loud, you know, all the way through, you know. We'd get on the corner, they'd have an introduction, you know, and come down soft, and people just run out of the house and the gang riding the wagon, start to dance, you know.
That's so.
And you could hear them talk, play it, kid, oh, yeah. Dancing on the street.
They liked it soft.
Yeah. You know, well, they're like right and not just blasting all the time, you see.
Swinging.
Well, they couldn't hear it way off, you see, and they'd get close, you see. Bring them to me with sweetness again.
But you probably had plenty of rhythm.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, you could hear everything, but
yeah. Wasn't
blasting.
The idea is to never lose the rhythm.
Yeah.
But bring it down soft so that they gather around and really
start to listen.
Listen, you see.
Is it true that sometimes they used to lock the wheels together?
Huh?
Is it true that they used to lock the wheels of the wagons together sometimes?
Black Benny used to tie them with rope, you know.
Oh, Black Benny?
Couldn't lock them, no lock, take a rope.
Oh, rope.
And the other guys would try to get away from him, they'd drag us along with them. Next call.
In fact, wasn't that the way you got hold of Joe Oliver?
Yeah. Yeah, we tied lock with Joe. He had organized the band.
His own band, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, he got beat so bad. Like
got
so
beat so bad, he asked me for a job.
So I told him he'd take him on if he'd listen to him and let him correct his tone and so forth. And he did. And when he got to be sounding so wonderfully, that Ed crowned him king. And from there on in.
Did you crown him king?
No.
That's what he told me at Savoy Ballroom, 28.
Yeah.
He was stranded out in Georgia, you know.
Yeah.
And I left him out, I was working at Savoy Ballroom. And he said, he owed me $100 for recording, you know. Told me he didn't have the money. Well, that's all right. I said, you need any more money? He said, no. I need it, but you're too nice. You didn't protest me against the union.
Uh-huh.
I said, did you pay all the other guys? He said, yeah. I said, if you need anything, I said, I'll help you out. Hmm. He said, thanks for naming me king. He shook hands with me.
Oh, yeah? Is that the last time you saw him?
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time you saw him?
Yeah. See, he did me lots of good. But things going bad now.
Uh-huh.
And he went in Georgia, and he got stranded. And Louis told me he saw him there. Mm-hmm. They played a date. They said, Joe, someone told me he had a little fruit stand, had two bananas and one potato. And he tapped on the back and said, I want a sack of potatoes. So what you do?
Louis, huh?
Louis didn't know many numbers when he came with you either.
No.
How long after that did Joe Oliver die?
Oh, Joe Oliver died in 1937 or something.
A long time.
But all those years he lived in misery.
And he's broker than the Ten Commandments.
I heard Louis played for a funeral, I don't know.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Where'd he die, Georgia?
Yeah, I think he did. And taking it about it to New York.
You don't?
I don't think he puffed as much as he does now.
Well, I know he didn't. Because when I saw him, first in person was night.
Huh?
Yeah, I think he had a sister or...
A sister?
Yeah.
Glad to have Joe was a good old boy that could play.
Could he play?
Tell you, again, to have him.
How did he compare with Papa Mutt?
Huh?
How did he compare with Mutt?